Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, risen and reigning, giving us a living hope. Amen. The text for our sermon this Easter is the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. It's the account of St. Mark of Jesus' resurrection. We read in Mark 16, beginning at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is God's word. In the name of the risen Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, dear fellow Easter celebrants, today is just another Sunday. What? How can he say that? As we look around, we see faces that we maybe don't see all that often in worship for a variety of reasons, including what a wonderful thing to have so many visitors with us today. We look around, people seem to be just a little bit more dressed up than usual. There just seems to be a little bit more suits and ties and pretty dresses, although sadly not a lot of Easter bonnets on our little girls. And the music turned up just a notch. It's a little more enthusiastic, the singing, a little more festive with the choir. When you have instrumentalists that play, that doesn't happen every week. How can this just be another Sunday? Because every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is the observance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Every Sunday worship is an anniversary service of what we are celebrating, particularly today, that the one who was dead and in the tomb, he is risen. He's not in the tomb. He now has gone out to appear to his disciples, to strengthen them for the days ahead, and then ascend into heaven. We heard the angel's message, "He is risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him." Or as the hymn writer put it, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes." Easter Sunday, we might say, is a clone of Easter Sunday. It is a celebration of the fact that God has declared Jesus victorious in his mission. Jesus finished the work that he came to do, as he said on the cross, to pay for our sins, to give us a secure and glorious inheritance in heaven, to be with us for our strength, even in the midst of our crosses and trials. But most of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives truth to the absolution. The absolution is the pronouncement of the forgiveness of sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the world's absolution. With that resurrection, physical resurrection of Jesus, God the Father has pronounced the entire world, billions and billions of people, no longer guilty of their sins. Totally and completely redeemed. Jesus obtained all glory for his Father by traveling that road to redemption. And this morning we look at Christ's resurrection that declares the world's absolution. We'll see, first of all, that it is a valuable gift, and it is for you. And secondly, that we see that this valuable gift is received and held by faith alone. Jesus' mission in life was to do his Father's will to redeem the world. Jesus even compared it to his food. I mean, food is what keeps us going, isn't it? It's what gives us life. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." That's what kept Jesus going. That's what drove him, was to do his Father's will, to redeem the world from its sin, death, and hell. For our sins, our death, and our hell. To that end, God the Father, in his will and counsel and foreknowledge, handed his Son over to his enemies for them to crucify. It was on Jesus' cross that he paid the temporal and eternal punishment for the sins, as I said, of billions of people as the only qualified substitute. Now, since it's the all-inclusive sins of billions and billions of people that put Jesus on the cross, that he bore on the cross, then where does that leave the billions of billions of people under Christ's resurrection? Let's narrow the field just a bit this morning and not talk about the billions and billions of people. Let's talk about one person. Let's talk about you and you and you. Let's talk about each one of you this morning. Is there any place in all of Scripture where God says, all have sinned except, insert name here? No. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the wonderful thing about that is that just as no one is excluded from sin, no one is excluded from redemption. Christ's resurrection is the world's absolution. Christ's resurrection doesn't say, I have redeemed everyone in the world except, insert your name here. His resurrection is your absolution. It is your assurance that God and you are now at peace, that the strife is o'er, the battle's done. Jesus fought that battle on the cross and won. A little off the subject, but that whole battle thing in the book of Revelation, that's already done. It's already over. It took place on the cross as Jesus defeated the power of Satan and the power of those who oppose Christ. On Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, Peter preached in his sermon about Jesus. This man was handed over to God, or to you, by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to hold him. It was impossible for death to hold him because death is the wages of sin. And sin is the breaking of the law. the commandments. But Jesus kept the commandments. And then he suffered death. So now the sin had lost its power, and death had lost its power, and so death could not hold him. And because it cannot hold him, and did not hold him, it cannot hold us either. If you've ever had an occasion to stand before a judge, likely for some minor infraction, and you paid your fine, what did the judge say? Paid in full. The price has been paid of your offense. You're free to go. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate today says. There's an interesting observation about Easter in the paper this morning. A local pastor made the statement that it doesn't really matter so much whether or not Jesus actually rose from the dead. What really matters is if we act like he did. Well, I don't have that, whatever that is, for you. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And that is the world and your absolution from sin. Your debt has been marked, paid by Christ. Paid in full. That's what we hear each and every Sunday. Or Saturday night, or Thursday night, or whenever we worship and hear God's word, we visit the empty tomb. We hear our Father pronounce us not guilty of our sins. And that's why Sunday worship or Thursday worship or any public worship is just as wonderful and glorious to be there and to hear that as it is on Easter. Because it's a valuable gift. And that valuable gift is for you. Each and every Sunday or in worship, the called servant, as I did this morning, after we confess our sins, pronounces the absolution. As a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. That is reliable and it is true because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. St. Paul assures us in his letter to the Romans, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. In Christ, the Father has forgiven all your sins. The gospel gives that forgiveness when the word's preached, in holy baptism, and in the Lord's Supper. He does it every time we hear the general absolution. It's true, and you use Christ's resurrection as the world's absolution when your spouse or your child or your parent or your enemy comes and says, I have sinned against you. You use Christ's resurrection to say to them the only thing as a Christian that you can say, I forgive you your sins. Christ's resurrection is the world's absolution. It's a valuable gift just for you. And faith is the valuable gift, or faith is the hand that holds and receives that valuable gift of the Lord's absolution. I mentioned in the first service that this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, so let me just refer to Luther maybe a little bit more here than usual. But Luther, in trying to explain this, used the example of a king giving one of his subjects a castle. And Luther said, when the king gives someone a castle, if the person doesn't hold that castle, if the person doesn't live in that castle, does that make the king a liar? No. Does that make the king somehow unfair? No. It's the person's fault. The person who said, that castle really isn't mine. It really doesn't belong to me. And then that's that person's fault. It's not the king's fault, it's the person's fault. Well, that's the way it is with faith. God has given us a glorious mansion, a glorious castle to live in the kingdom of God. Receiving it, holding it, living in it, we say to God, you're not a liar. You are a gracious and generous God who has given this wonderful, valuable gift to me. That is the gift of our justification, the general absolution God has pronounced on the entire world through Christ's resurrection. God's invitation to us today, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Don't just walk by the empty tomb on this one day of the year and say, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't it wonderful what God did for the world, what God did for me? But stop weekly, daily, and peer into that empty tomb. Listen to the angels say, he is not here. He is risen just as he said. And then take the angels' words to heart. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. The war's over. There's no longer anything to fear from sin or death or eternity. Because the absolution of our sins by the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our assurance and our certainty of better things. Every Sunday is the time to look intently into Jesus' empty tomb and from it hear the risen Christ outside speak that powerful and comforting word, I forgive you all your sins. Faith saves us not because it's a good work we do, but because it's simply the hand that receives and holds what Christ has done for us in his resurrection from the dead. Trust that absolution that God has pronounced over you. God is faithful, and God's valuable gift is revocable. Receive Jesus' resurrection, the world's absolution. The Spirit will fill your hearts with the greatest joy and consolation that Easter brings. And then you will see the glory of God, and then your death will be the gateway into heaven. Amen.